the ring if you're ready to care.
And what is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We are back with another episode here of the Slappin' Meat Wrestling Podcast. As always, if you're watching on YouTube, like, share, subscribe with your friends. Leave a comment in the comment section. Hit the subscribe button. Hit that thumbs up if you enjoy it. That gets us into the YouTube algorithms. If you're listening on audio, whether on Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening to, leave us a review. Leave us a five-star review. Leave us some comments if you're on Spotify. You know, all of that jazz. Subscribe to it. Share it around the world. Maybe you go to a wrestling event and you start talking to someone about wrestling. Be like, hey, bro, you like wrestling? Here's a podcast you'll like to listen to. Let's get these, you know, let's grow this community. If you're new here, links in the description to join our Discord page where on Monday nights and sometimes on Fridays, depending on how interesting the show is, we do watch-alongs in the chat. Talking about the show, giving our thoughts and opinions there as a community. If you're an AEW fan, there's not a lot of them in the community right now who watch AEW, but we are happily open to having y'all in there. We could do watch-alongs with Dynamite and Collision in there as well as we get more people in the community. We try to be as interactive as possible in the community, which is why we have things like bracket battles that I do on Tuesdays, and we're actually getting ready. I mentioned in the Discord, you know, this WWE 2K tournament that I'm running, simulated matches. We already drafted our teams, right, and we're going to run the matches. That video should be up tomorrow. Me and Wavy D will be doing custom commentary for these matches. That should be interesting. We might go live for those. I'm not quite certain how we're going to run those. I don't know if we're going to record it and then have me edit it and put it on YouTube or if we're going to go live. I'm still trying to figure that what I want to do with that out. But that'll drop sometime tomorrow. And then the last thing that I want to talk about, this is the prediction show for Worlds Collide and for Money in the Bank. And so because of that, we're running a prediction competition in the Discord. You have to be in the Discord and have your picks submitted. I know a fair amount of people did put their picks in yesterday. Make sure you get your picks for the shows in before Worlds Collide begins tomorrow, and so that's all the housekeeping. That's we got that taken care of. Let's talk wrestling, right? So we're gonna open up with my open thoughts, as we always do. My opening thought of this episode. So being that this is a Money in the Bank prediction show, we're gonna open up with a thought on the concept of Money in the Bank. Now, I've said this before, so this isn't a new idea that I've sort of been on this train of, right? But with the news coming out of, like, Triple H isn't a fan of the gimmick and people making connections that he's never been in a qualifier, he's never been in a Money in the Bank match, he's never been cashed in on, he's never held the briefcase, that he just wanted to completely distance himself as a performer from Money in the Bank in that gimmick, and that there are insights, like people inside of, you know, these who have sources, I guess, who believe that he wants to get rid of the Money in the Bank gimmick. And if he does, be the best thing they ever do. Because I'm also of the same opinion of Triple H that WWE should and really needs to get rid of the Money in the Bank gimmick. I think it's run its course. The women are still 100%, but like the men are starting now to like, it's like a 76% success rate, which in a match where you're supposed to like, you know, cash in at, it should be 100%, right? You shouldn't like if you're using the briefcase correctly, it's right. It should be at 100%, right? Success rate, right? Middle of a match, you come in, someone gets beaten down, the champion's beaten down, broken, and the bell rings, you beat them, right? That should be how the briefcase, the cash in works, right? If they used the gimmick correctly, it should be this person who wins this is the next up and comer to, you know, get into the business and come join the main event scene. It should be one of those things that lifts a mid-card talent to the top of the roster, someone they want to put the push behind. And I just feel like, you know, they've done that. You know, Austin Theory, that's what it was supposed to be. But I don't know. So I don't know. I just, me personally, I'm not a big fan of the gimmick, especially when a babyface wins it, because it's not something that a babyface would do, right? Sneak up from behind and steal the championship, right? It is solely a heel gimmick, right? Yeah, I think it's run its course, though. I said this on Tuesday. Maybe I did. I don't know. Just a little behind the scenes stuff. Like when I say practice, I mean I go over throughout the day, like when I'm at work and stuff. As I'm writing the script, I sort of start to formulate what I'm going to say throughout the days leading up, and that way it doesn't sound like a bunch of jumbled mess, right? And so maybe I said it on the actual podcast, or maybe it was just in my practicing and running over what I want to say. Who knows? I don't remember, to be honest with you. The point I was trying to make was, it has completely left the room too. Chasing rabbits. Sometimes you lose what you're trying to do. Anyway, we'll move on. Right. But Money in the Bank should be gone out. And now, there you go. the power of the brain. Anyway, I think I said that I would really like if WWE moved to 4 PLEs per year and Money in the Bank not be one of them. I'm not even really the biggest fan of Royal Rumble. I think that gimmick is a little tired, especially if you're just going like, let me give an example, right? So Money in the or Royal Rumble happens, Elimination Chamber happens, right? Bianca Belair wins the championship opportunity at Elimination Chamber. And I've already expressed this, right? Right? Because Royal Rumble wasn't bad this year. I think maybe in hindsight we picked the wrong person. But it wasn't necessarily like the Royal Rumble winner got screwed out of a title. I'm more so like these Elimination Chamber style stuff, right? Bianca Belair won. And she thinks she's getting a match against Rhea. But then Io Sky gets a title match, didn't have to really necessarily earn it, and she wins the title, right? And so there's really no purpose in winning Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber or, hell, even Money in the Bank if all I got to do is complain sometimes to Adam Pearce and I'm going to get a title match, right? I don't necessarily think there's a reason to run these gimmick pay-per-views anymore. Run us a Mania, give us a SummerSlam, and then like I'm not even joking when I say this. You could run, you know, Mania and SummerSlam in the States, and then run a foreign pay per view, you know, in Europe or Australia or Central or South America if you want to run something there, and then if you want to continue the Saudi deal, run a Saudi show, and there's your big four shows. And logistically this would make sense, right? If you do Rumble or not Rumble, if you did the first show of the year in the January part of the year. Again, not, you know, it could be Royal Rumble if you want to, but, you know, run the Saudi show in January, right? Then you go and you run the European show in April, right? Because you're already over there. You basically spend, let's say, the first 6 months of the year over there. You tour Europe, you tour the places in the Middle East you want to tour, you tour Australia, you tour Japan, right? You do your tour there, and it may not be the greatest. This may not be the best idea. I'm sort of just brainstorming off the top of my head. But four PLEs a year would work better for WWE. Getting rid of the gimmick pay-per-views or PLEs. Money in the Bank should leave. It's run its course. It's not necessarily beneficial to have it anymore. For the most part, there's a 25% chance you won't win the title now. So who knows? Let's go transition over to, there's one piece of news that I want to discuss, right? And I'll briefly mention another one right now. And the reason I'm not going to go in depth with this is I don't have information on it, right? And I don't like to talk about things that I don't actually fully have information on. But something's going on with, like, at the Performance Center on Tuesdays, I guess Liv Morgan had a stalker that got arrested in Orlando at the building during the show, which is crazy because Liv Morgan wasn't even there. But it is the Performance Center, and they do have access to it. So who knows? Maybe she was working out or something during the day. Who knows? And then something with Roxanne Perez, like information was being doxed and sold to people, which is absolutely insane. And all I will say about it is without any like actual information on it is y'all are some weirdos, right? Y'all are like, I've never once, you know, I joke around with the idea of like Stephanie Vaquer is my queen, right? I joke around with that in the Discord, right? She's mine. Stephanie Vaquer is right. Hell, she's my ringtone. She's my alarm to wake up in the morning. Her theme song is fucking amazing. She's my wallpaper on my phone. But even with all of that, I keep it within the realm that that's a character, and that the person behind the character, also named Stephanie Vaquer, I think her name's actually Ana Stephanie Vaquer Gonzalez, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. That could just be misinformation. So don't credit me on that. Don't use me as a source. But anyway, the person behind the character Stephanie Vaquer is a real human being that I've never once considered trying to find her address. Right? I've never considered that. And for anyone that's like, "Ooh, I'm going to stalk this person," you're a weirdo, dude. Get out, go touch some grass. Go find something to do with your day. Because obviously you don't do enough. Go find maybe one of these things called a job would really help you out here. And I'm not trying to be rude, but it's insane. It's insane that these women's wrestlers and from a larger extent, women everywhere have to worry about these weirdos finding their address online and giving it to people who want to do them harm. It's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. We got to do better, right? We talk about like toxicity in the wrestling community, and a lot of it comes from these type of people, right? Who sit there and they claim, you know, we got to stop the tribalism, we got to stop the toxicity, and then you look into them and, oh well, and I have a personal, just, I don't want to call it a vendetta or anything. I have a personal disinterest in people who keep their accounts anonymous. And that's, I understand, and I'll say it this way. Not all Anon accounts are bad. I know this can get me in trouble. Not all Anon accounts are bad, per se. There are reasons why females feel the need to keep their accounts anonymous, and I fully respect that. Same with dudes. I know people who, you know, maybe don't want their accounts found by their boss because they have strong opinions on things. Understood. That's fine. But there are people who use anonymous accounts to do nefarious actions like stalking people. And that should be, you know, monitored and you know, go touch grass, right? I at least believe websites like Twitter need to have some sort of verify. First off, a verify button that would completely eliminate the bots, by the way. But some sort of feature that I don't know. I feel like we get into this gets shady when you get into like the idea of an anonymous. Even if you don't want your name out there, right? I don't necessarily like the idea of there are people out there who hide behind anonymous accounts. And for good reason. There are good reasons to have an anonymous account, some that I just mentioned. For females, a lot of the times it's for protection. Because of this very reason, they don't want to be, you know, known, so that they don't get doxxed and all of this stuff, right? And that's fine. Don't care about that. I think, though, if you do nefarious actions behind an anonymous account, you just got nothing better to do with your life, and you really need to find something to do. I don't really know where to go with this. I know I said I wasn't going to touch this very longly, and then I lied, and it's been like 4 minutes now. Anyway. The real piece of news that I wanted to talk about is with the non-renewals of the Carlitos and the Valhallas and the R-Truths in the world this week on Monday, or this past weekend coming in the Monday, there's now a report that TKO wants to try to renegotiate Roman Reigns' contract, stating that because of his part-time status, he makes too much money. For those who don't know, the estimation, because none of these numbers have ever truly been confirmed, I don't believe, but he makes about $5 million base salary, meaning Roman Reigns, just by signing the contract, makes $5 million a year. With merch incentives and the video game stuff and all of the extra bonuses that he gets, he tends to make somewhere, I think the number I saw was $15 million. Now, this may be a controversial opinion, right? This is coming from someone who, between the years 2021 and 2025, or 2021-2024, right, the Bloodline era, I was the number one supporter of the acknowledged Roman Reigns movement, saying the Bloodline was the best story. Still believe the Bloodline is the best era storyline in the history of the company. I still believe Roman Reigns is on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling. And I'm even willing at this point to say that Roman Reigns should be in the GOAT conversation for greatest pro wrestler of all time. I don't know if I'd give him that spot yet. I still am holding on to Hulk Hogan in that position because I solely believe without Hogan, the rest of the business doesn't exist in the way that it was. So Roman Reigns wouldn't have been able to get to the position he was if it wasn't for Hogan. And for me, that holds some weight in the industry. I truly do believe that. But Roman Reigns is at least in the conversation for the greatest of all time, if not the greatest, definitely in the top three, in my opinion, greatest of all time. With that being said, right, and so I'm that guy. So me having this opinion, I'm about to say, may feel like it's coming out of left field. I'm 110% in the corner of TKO on this particular thing, right? I know a lot of people feel like, oh, this is just disrespectful. He carried the company. Guys, they have a point. He doesn't put in enough work to make the money. His salary is too high for what they're making out of him, right? So since WrestleMania, we haven't seen Roman Reigns. I don't think he was at Backlash. I don't remember. Right? But we haven't seen Roman Reigns since April. Where are we going to see him again? Right? The rumor was he was going to be in Money in the Bank. My initial prediction post-WrestleMania was that Roman Reigns is winning Money in the Bank. Well, the dude's not even in the match. The match is next. The match is tomorrow. And now there's people saying, oh, Roman's going to cost Seth and this, that. And maybe talking about Roman Reigns in this way is a plan to sort of get people talking about him so that when he shows up, there's interest. I don't know if I'm completely interested in a Roman Seth match leading towards SummerSlam. I would prefer it to happen at a Mania, to be honest with you. But we'll see where this goes. I don't think Roman shows up tomorrow, to be honest with you. I truly do believe Roman Reigns, at the very least, if he's going to be a part-timer, I think he should keep all of the video game incentives and all of that. But the base salary should definitely be, you know, comparable to what percentage of effort he puts in to showing up on a normal basis. I'm not even sitting here saying Roman has to be there every single week. He doesn't have to be the Seth Rollins, Sami Zayn type workhorse that shows up every week. He could show up twice a month, though. He could do vignettes. I don't know. I get he feels like he needs, you know, the part-time schedule, and that's fine. Ultimately, I think this pushes Roman to do one of two things. He does either show up more, or I do think he's going to retire. I don't think there's going to be anything ever about Roman Reigns. I'm not worried about Roman Reigns getting released and jumping to another company. I really am not. But the idea of cutting Roman's salary, like I don't think he does enough to deserve $15 million a year after all the bonuses, right? That amount of money is kind of crazy. And like I've been saying, the whole thing here is about quarter two of the financial year. Technically, quarter two of the financial year is already over, because that's quarter one is October through December. Quarter two is January through April, technically. Or January through March. And then April starts quarter three. Because the financial year is different than the actual year. We're technically still in quarter two of the calendar. My whole point of saying is, the end of the quarter is, today's the 6th, is in 24 days, right? This is their business, and I think I explained this and broke this down on Tuesday, but this is a busy time of year for WWE with Mania and all this. What they're going to do at the end of the quarter, when, or maybe even July 1st, if that's when it's planned, when they do and it probably won't be July 1st, right? Typically, it takes about a week to get all the financials in order so you can have correct data so that you can then do the investor call at the beginning of quarter three saying, here's how quarter two went, right? And with Mania and all of these events, we made that, right? And this quarter in particular is very important. Because if you can convince your investors that you did very good business here, and so you're trying to cut money everywhere you can, So we'll cut this and we'll cut this and we cut this and we cut this. And look at all the merch sales we have here, and look at the big gates we have here. And oh, don't worry about the $2 billion in debt right now. We're working on it. Last quarter, it was $3 billion. Now it's two, right? We're working on it. And the investors, as long as, right? Vince McMahon just sold more stock, I believe I saw. And so there's definitely things moving on behind the scenes to make things look better than maybe they actually are. Who knows? I don't think we see this aggressiveness when it comes to contracts in the next quarter or the quarter after that, because I think they really want to. Then they do this with Mania all the time, is they want Mania, because Mania is their moneymaker of the year. They want this quarter to look very good with those numbers, right? And so they cut the budget where they can towards the end of the quarter. But working in a business that understands when you get to March, right? That's the end of quarter one, right? When you get to March, the budget's going to get cut. When you get to June, the budget's going to get cut. When you get to July, August, when you get to September, that budget's going to get cut. In December, it gets cut the most, because you want to end the year so December, don't plan on doing anything, right? The only thing in the budget a lot of times at the places I've worked is like a small Christmas party, right? But don't try to get anything fixed. Don't try to do anything big. We'll push all that back to the next beginning of next year, right? But the budget at the end of the year is typically where they cut the most based on the spending for the rest of the year, right? So understanding how that works in business, it's just an end of the quarter type thing. But I do believe Roman Reigns shouldn't make as much as he does if he's not going to put in that amount of value. I don't, and I'll be honest with you, I think they don't value Roman Reigns the same way Vince McMahon valued Roman Reigns. I think they see Roman Reigns as right now just a part-timer who they could push another star. And I definitely think with him being out of the picture, and they've noticed that we could run the Bloodline without Roman. We have a big star without Roman. We don't need Roman. And for, I think the first time in 4 or 5 years, Roman Reigns not necessary to the survival of the company. In the mind of the people who own the company. And I think Roman Reigns, first off, there's no such thing as job security. I explained this on Tuesday. And when you're an independent contractor, there's no such thing as job security. But Roman Reigns was pretty secure when Vince McMahon ran the company. He was not going to release Roman Reigns, right? There are just some people, you know, Seth Rollins, I don't ever feel will get released at this point, because he's a big draw right now. Roman Reigns, sure, he sells merch. He's on the video game cover. The casuals love him. When Roman comes back and gets on the screen, the ones go up and people hoot and holler, myself included, right? But for the first time in 4 years, Roman Reigns isn't needed. And that's a very interesting place to be at. When you're not needed, when you're replaceable, if I'm TKO, right? Because I don't think Triple H is making these decisions. I know he's in charge of creative, but that's about as much as he has input into. I don't think he's making the decisions. I think this is a Nick Khan decision. I think this goes up to Ari Emanuel. And let me tell you something. I promise you, Ari Emanuel, he may have met some of the talent. But I know how these CEOs work sometimes, right? A lot of the times, the CEOs don't know the talent. They just see a name and a number on the page. They look at the budget. They operate on analytics and numbers. And they say, well, we need to cut $10 million of salary. Roman makes 15. We don't need him. He's not necessary to the survival of the company. Get rid of him. I would not be surprised if that is the case. I don't think it will be, but I understand. I think this is a Nick Khan decision. I think this is an Ari Emanuel thing. I don't think Triple H has anything to do with. In fact, if Triple H had anything to do with roster cuts, I don't think he cuts Dakota Kai. I don't think he cuts R-Truth. I don't think some of these decisions that end up happening would happen if Triple H ran the company, right? I think these are solely Nick Khan. I think this is solely Ari Emanuel who are making business decisions because that's their job. Triple H is probably being told to just stay in his lane, work with the creative. And I'm sure it's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating to try to do creative the way you want to do creative, but never knowing if the guy you want to push is going to get. I'll say it this way. I think he wants to push Karrion Kross, but Kross hasn't even been offered a new contract yet, and it expires in several months. And so Triple H, I think, is in a position, and I'm not trying to give Triple H a pass here. Let me be honest. His booking has been pretty atrocious because you do have people that are long-term contracts that won't ever get released that you could tell better stories with. But I think he wants to push Karrion, but he doesn't want to put a lot of effort into Karrion if Karrion's not going to be re-signed by the company. Right? And so I think that's the balance that Triple H has to play between the business and his job of what he wants to do to be creative. Because I think Triple H has a creative side to him. I think it's being stifled right now because of the stuff going on above him. And I do think there's a power struggle. I do think The Rock wants to, right? This is why I said I really wish Triple H could do one more match. If Triple H could do one more match, right? If Triple H could do one more match, I want it against The Rock with the gimmick being winner keeps the company, right? And you could build like a whole team with it. But even like Triple H doesn't even have to. Like this is what Survivor Series could be around. This could be that creative where you can make that part of the story where The Rock comes in and says, I'm the final boss. And Triple H says, but I'm the one that runs the show here. You don't have any say. You work for me just because you sit on the board, right? And you could have the power struggle play out on TV. And Triple H doesn't even have to be in the match. Survivor Series could literally be Team WWE versus Team Dwayne Johnson. Right. And it right. And you and the winner of that match gets to keep control of the company. Like that's easy creative to me. But I do believe so. Like Jonathan Coachman came out and is being credited for saying within 18 months. I think it's quicker than 18 months. I think Triple H is out of his job by the end of this year. I do. I think the giving him the Hall of Fame was sort of the passive aggressive. We're going to award you for what you've done and have done for this company, but we're kicking you to the side. I thoroughly agree that's what that was. That's 100% what my mindset is that Triple H was given this, like, thank you for everything you've done for this company, but please, you're getting out of the way. And I think he's fighting back against that. Here's what I want. I need Vince McMahon to create a new company. I need Triple H to. I'll follow Triple H. I promise you. Like I'm not so much of a WWE homer. Where if Triple H and Vince McMahon and this new investment company and all of this could get together and create a new company, And all of that, and start to get some of the guys like Roman and Brock and Karrion Kross and some of the, you know, I think they could create a very good company, right? I do. I think they can create a competitive product. Would be very interesting to see how that works. It really would be. I feel like Vince McMahon's at a place right now, I don't have any insight on it, but if he does want to get back into wrestling, like maybe he's having this regret of selling it to Endeavor. Maybe he's realizing he's been duped and was sold a bag of goods that doesn't actually exist and that this was just a takeover of the – of the brand, and now Vince McMahon has to come in to save wrestling from the very company he built up. So he's got to destroy it. That, which is an interesting story in and of itself. You can write a movie about, but that I would not be surprised if that's what, if that happens in by the end of the year, Triple H is out and they try to create a new company. It wouldn't even surprise me if Triple H, if he gets kicked out, if the McMahons and like the ultimate like FU to the company that they created, destroy it by going and joining AEW. I could see that happening. Not realistically, but I could see it happening, right? All right, so let's talk real quick about this beautiful show named NXT, the best brand in pro wrestling consistently week in and week out. There was a tweet that I posted in the Discord that said NXT, basically the synopsis of the tweet is NXT is the best show in the company, but it's also carrying wrestling, right? It's carrying the WWE. Raw is boring. SmackDown is boring, but NXT is not. And here, so I there's like three camps in this debate, right? There's like three camps. So you have the people like me who in the B-Masters. B-Masters been an NXT guy for a while that I know of, right? That think that NXT is the greatest thing in WWE. It has been for a couple years. To me, it has been for several years. And then you have the camp that watches NXT but isn't necessarily willing to give it the props, that see it still as a developmental system, a third brand, the C show. And then you have the people who won't even give NXT the time of day for some of the same reasons. It's developmental. I've seen things like the show is too elementary. It's too cartoony. It's too gimmicky. It's too, right? It's too childish, which I don't know what NXT show they're watching. 100%, right? I don't know what you're watching to have these opinions. But NXT, without a doubt, is the greatest show in wrestling right now. Right? It 100% is the greatest show. Now, typically, if I didn't have to do predictions, I would read through what happened throughout the whole show. I'm not going to do that. Because there's really only one moment. So first off, I'll give a moment. The Trick Williams Santana match was fantastic. To have First Class on there and have AJ Francis and KC Navarro show up, that's crazy. Vic Joseph said a line when AJ Francis showed up, something about like flopping dollars. And I don't know if you guys caught it, but I did. And I laughed my ass off. Absolutely hilarious. That was a great way to end the show. Personally, I liked that. Yeah, the show was good. That's all I really got to say is the show was really good. But the segment that I want to talk about the most, right? Now, Need You Be, right? On Tuesday nights, typically I try to, with me being solo again, I try to start recording by 7:30 so that it takes about an hour to record. I could then throw on the show from beginning and probably finish around the same time once I skip through all the commercials, right? It didn't happen this week. I don't think I even started recording till like 8:15, right? And so I was really behind with the show. So I'm talking Tuesday. And the question was, how would you book Mariah May in NXT, right? And I'm sitting here saying, she's coming. It's going to be July 12th. She's going to, you know, JC Jane's going to fight Fallon Henley. And Fallon's going to win the match. And then we'll get like a surprise debut of Mariah May. And while I'm saying this, like quite literally at the same time I'm saying this, Mariah May pops up on NXT TV. NXT gets glamorous. I was right, but I'm not watching while I'm recording, and I'm off of social media, and I get done, and I make the mistake of going on Twitter, and it's one of the first things that I see was a tweet from NXT about the show, and I see Mariah May. And I wish you guys, I wish I was recording my live reaction to seeing it. But I popped because I was not, I was not expecting this. I fully thought that she would come in and make her debut July 12th, head to head against AEW All In. No. It's more diabolical than that now, guys. She's winning the NXT Women's Championship July 12th. Great American Bash in the main event. I promise you that will be the main event. In the main event, Mariah May wins the championship, going head to head against All In, which will be main evented by Jon Moxley and Adam Hangman Page, where if my predictions are correct, Jon Moxley will retain that championship. And so one show is going to end with a very pissed off crowd. And NXT is going to end with Mariah May as your new champion. 100% believe that. That's where I believe we're going. I was not fully expecting this. So now let's talk about it. Because I got to change my answer. How do I book her? Well, that's easy. She's going to be the next champion. We don't even need the Fallon Henley storyline. Right? JC's losing the title to Mariah May. And everyone's saying, well, she doesn't even have a name yet. Yeah. That's great. NXT was on what day? That day was the 3rd of June. As far as we understand, she was under contract until the end of May, probably, is what we're going to assume. And so one could maybe understand that her contract probably ended either June 1st or somewhere around June 1st, June 2nd, or June 3rd, right? Her contract with AEW ended. And this is probably hey, my contract's done. I want to sign. Oh, okay, come to Orlando. We'll debut you the same day you sign the contract. Right? And everyone's, oh, well, they gave her the same debut they gave Ricky. No, they did not give her the same debut they gave Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks came out in an intermission period between two segments where he grabbed the microphone and debuted on the stairs. No one was in the ring. Mariah May came out with immediacy, right? With the immediate of this segment was planned around her, right? And so here's what happened, right? Here's what happened. They cleared the NXT women's division of all competent challengers. Jordynne Grace is gone. Julia's gone. Roxanne's gone. Cora Jade's released. Stephanie Vaquer's up on the main roster now. And what do? Well, you get JC Jane in the ring. And now we start reloading the top of this women's division. And you get Lainey Reid coming from the crowd, from the Performance Center Evolve crowd, right? You get Lainey Reid, who said, I waited my chance. The roster was so big, so stacked at the top that I'm waiting my chance, but now is the time. Then you get Lola Vice and Jada Parker, Kalani, Lash Legend, all going out there to make stake for this championship. And we're loading the top of this card back up again. And then the lights go out. And it's Mariah May in the Crow's Nest Finally, I've made it home. I will be your next women's NXT champion. Completely different debuts. Completely different debuts for the two of them. But see, here's what the issue is, right? You've already seen it. What a degrade. She was the top of AEW. Now she's in development. No, it's not developmental, guys. But I also need you to understand why WWE sent her where they sent her, right? First off, the name was always going to happen. Like, we got to stop being surprised that WWE doesn't let you use your legal name. I know her name's Mariah Mead. Her middle name is May, so it's Mariah May Mead is her real name. They're never going to let her use that for two reasons. First off, she probably wants to keep that for the independents. So when the time does come, if her contract expires with WWE and she doesn't get re-signed or she does get released, this doesn't work out. That's always a possibility, by the way. She could always go back to the indies as Mariah May. She made that game, right? Right? And so that's one of the reasons. But the second reason is WWE wants to copyright the name so that they can make money off of it. And they're not copywriting legal names anymore. Right? And so this was always going to happen. She was always going to get a name change. Most competent people who use logic knew this was going to happen. But this isn't a demotion. This is a promotion. You're in the biggest wrestling company in the world. They cleared out their women's division solely in NXT solely for you to be the star for the next 6 months to a year to lead that brand. And you're in the biggest wrestling company in the world. I said this within 3 years, Charlotte, Bayley, Becky, Bianca, even. I think Jade's gone. I think Naomi's gone. A lot of the people at the top of this roster right now will be gone in the next 3 years. I truly believe that. And so I think what we have looking at us, let's say this time next year, right? We post-Mania next year, the top of the women's roster probably is going to be Rhea, Io, Stephanie, Julia, Roxanne, Mariah May, with a lot of clearing out. Maybe Lyra Valkyria. I can't forget about her, right? With a lot of the jumbleness with the Charlotte, Becky, Bayley, I think Nia's gone. I think Naomi's gone. I think Jade might even, you know, who knows where Bianca and Jade are in a year. But, I mean, who knows, right? But I do give it time. A year, 2 years in NXT. And Mariah May, first off, she's going to learn the WWE system. She's going to get trained and to be better. I mean, she's already pretty decent in the ring. Let me just tell you, she is the future of this company. They have a plan for her. Everyone said this, you know, James was out there talking about how this is career suicide, but he said it with Ricky Stark. He said that when Ricky Saints came over, and it's appearing that Ricky Saints is already going to the main roster. And I promise you, if it goes the way that I would book it, he's winning Money in the Bank next year in New Orleans. Right? And so, yeah. That to me was the highlight of the show. All the other matches were fantastic, but Mariah May showing up completely out of the blue, was not expecting it, and seeing the fallout of these AEW marks calling her a traitor, now saying she's not even good. You know, the same routine that they pull with everyone that jumps ship from the company. You know, it is what it is, but it seeing the breakdown of it and seeing the crash outs of her joining the company we all knew she was going to sign with, right? And so, right, AEW needs to embrace this. Be the developmental for WWE, right? Make your money and then send them to where they want to wrestle. because more of this is going to happen, right? And you look at a show like they ran on Friday, and this is, we'll talk about it in a minute, that they ran on Wednesday, and you wonder why Mariah May jumped. Again, we'll talk about that in our closing thoughts of the show. But I mentioned Money in the Bank. So let's get to predicting. This is a prediction show, by the way, isn't it? So let's start with Worlds Collide. It's the first show of the weekend on Saturday. That's tomorrow. You can watch Worlds Collide. It starts at 3 p.m. Eastern time. That's noon Pacific, 2 p.m. Central. And if you're in like Mountain Time or one of them weird time zones, I have no idea. But this is on YouTube. Must make that clarification. This is on YouTube. It's going to be on, there's going to be a Spanish stream and an English stream on WWE's YouTube page. Worlds Collide. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not necessarily the biggest. I'm not like intent on watching this. Like, this may be one of the things I have on in the background. Right? I don't know a lot of these wrestlers. So I'm not going to try to use a lot of logic in my predictions of this show. We're going to start with the first match. Legado del Fantasma. That's Santos, Berto, and Garza taking on the team of El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., Pagano, and Psycho Clown. I've heard great things about Dr. Wagner. I've heard great things about Pagano, and I've heard great things about Psycho Clown. I'm sure they'll be fantastic, right? I'm going to use a little bit of logic, but not that much here. Legado's got a lot of tension going on Friday nights, right? Berto and all of them are sort of, and there's some tension. I think that's going to play into this match. So my prediction is El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. and company, Pagano and Psycho Clown, will win this match. And Legado, I think this will be the catalyst that will separate the group. The next match we're going to talk about is El Hijo de Vikingo, or Vikingo, the mega champion, the newly crowned mega champion, versus Chad Gable for the AAA mega championship. I don't know how I feel about this, because you just gave Vikingo the belt. I don't see Chad Gable winning this match. I just don't see it happening. So I am picking Vikingo. I don't see you crowning him the champion just to strip it of him. I think if they're going to piss off the crowd with the Chad Gable gimmick, it's going to happen later in the night in the Money in the Bank match. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Next match for the NXT North American Championship. We get a fatal four-way Ethan Page, Javon Evans, Laredo Kid, and Ray Phoenix. And I may have told my hand on Tuesday when I talked about this, but I do think Ethan Page finds a way to retain the title here. Because I think next for Ethan Page will be Lexus King. It's just how I would book it. And I think Lexus King will beat the title off of Ethan Page. That's how I see this happening. But I could be wrong. If it's not Ethan, it will be Javon. And but again, we'll see how that happens. So as it stands right now, two AAA wins, and then Ethan Page gets a win here. We get Stephanie Vaquer and Lola Vice in a tag team match against Cheek Tormenta and Dalis. Don't know exactly the pronunciation. I'm going Cheek Tormenta and Dalis. And here's why. I think Lola is going to turn on Stephanie. So if where my, y'all know where my Money in the Bank women's prediction is, because I've said it a million times. So I'm not really going to like spoil anything by saying this. I think Stephanie Vaquer is winning the women's Money in the Bank. And so they need to protect her. I think Lola Vice does a lot of the work in this match. I think we get some moment from Stephanie. We'll definitely get the devil's kiss so that we can get Booker going, right? And then, but I don't think Stephanie works a lot of this match. And I think Lola is going to take the pin. And I, right. So then the last match on the card is the LWO. I'm assuming it's going to be Dragon Lee, Yokan Wild, and Cruz del Toro. I don't think Ray, because Ray's injured, isn't he? I think they wanted Ray on the card, but it just, he got hurt. So, and they're going to take on Octagon Jr., Aerostar, and Mr. Iguana. And I do think the LWO wins this match. I do. Because the other six-man tag, AAA, won, right? And I don't think this is like a battle of the brands. WWE owns the company, so they win no matter what. And so that's where I'm at with that. I think this will be a great introduction to a lot of their talent. Part of me, the main thing that I'm wondering is, like, are we going to get run-ins? The one guy I'm interested to see if he shows up is Alberto Del Rio. I think that has to be the guy that we're the most, like, intrigued about seeing show up at this show. Will Del Rio show up? If they do it, right, it will definitely be the surprise of the century if they allow it to happen. And I think it will be during the Mega Championship match, because he was the one Vikingo beat for the title. And so let me tell you something. If you bring Del Rio out there, you best believe, first off, that better be your main event, because everyone's turning the damn show off. yeah, that's crazy. I would love to see him on the TV, though. I'm just gonna be honest with you. But a lot of people will complain. And I think that that's a good thing. I don't think it matters. Go ahead and bring them out. Do it. I dare you. Anyway, let's go and predict Money in the Bank. We got four matches on the card, which makes about the right amount of sense. We'll probably give an hour-ish to both Money in the Banks. You'll probably get about 30 minutes with the J, Cody, Logan, John situation, and you'll give the women's IC 25 minutes, maybe less, like 20 minutes, right? Makes about sense to me, right? So let's start with that match, Women's Intercontinental Championship. Lyra Valkyria comes in your champion. Will she leave your champion, or will Becky Lynch win? Well, I am going with Becky Lynch. This makes the most sense. The stipulation, if it's Becky loses, she can't challenge for it again. Well, typically when you add that stipulation, you either are about to move brand or something, or get released, or you win the match. I do think Becky Lynch wins the match. I think this builds towards a bigger feud, which is Becky versus Bayley for this title going into SummerSlam. Where that leaves Lyra, I'm not exactly certain, but I do think Becky Lynch wins this match. We'll talk about John Cena teaming with Logan Paul to take on the team of Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. Actually, I want to talk about this match next. Let's talk about the Men's Money in the Bank, because I need to set this up first. Men's Money in the Bank, Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, Penta, Seth Rollins, Andrade, and El Grande Americano. I feel like this match, let's just be honest, there's one clear winner here, in my opinion. They could pull the trick route, the piss the crowd off route, and have El Grande win. I don't think they do that, though. I think Seth Rollins is winning this. I think that was always the plan. And there's two possible outcomes with this as far as cash-ins. But I think the cash-in with Seth Rollins happens all within the next Saturday. Within the next 4 days. By the end of the day, Monday. By the end of Raw on Monday, I do believe Seth Rollins will be your World Heavyweight Champion. here's where I would do it, is during the Cena Logan Paul Cody Rhodes Jey Uso match. So Seth Rollins is my prediction for Money in the Bank men's, right? John Cena, Logan Paul, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso. I don't necessarily care who wins. My prediction is Cena and Logan Paul. My prediction is Cena and Logan Paul beat the living ever shit out of this team of Cody and Jey. And in the process, Jey gets absolutely destroyed, beat down, maybe even have someone like Bronson Reed come out at the end of the match. Right, you send out Braun, you send out Bronson Reed, right? And they, you know, spear, tsunami, something like that, right? And then out comes Seth Rollins, opportunistic, wins the title, saves us from the reign of Yeet. Or Monday night, Gunther takes on Jey Uso, supposedly. And during that match, Seth Rollins cashes in on Jey Uso. Those are the two opportunities that I think that they have for us that I think they need. They need to take one of them. And I would prefer them do it Saturday. That would get me real hype. And so I do think John and Logan win with maybe a potential cash in Saturday night against Jey Uso. And then the women's Money in the Bank. I've already given my prediction, but we got Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Rhea, Julia, Naomi, Stephanie Vaquer. Guys, let me just tell you something. This is the greatest women's Money in the Bank card, like set pack participants that they've ever had ever in the women's Money in the Bank. I think there's a legitimate reason that any one of these could win. The least likely to me is Alexa and then Rhea. If Stephanie wouldn't have won her match, I would have said Roxanne or Naomi. But I do believe Stephanie Vaquer is winning this solely because I think what they have now, what I believe they set up, is I think Stephanie wins the briefcase. I think what we're going to get is Rhea versus Io at SummerSlam. And I think on the build towards Survivor Series, I think a cash-in will happen where Stephanie beats Io for the title. And I think down the line, they may be teasing for Mania next year, even Rhea versus Stephanie, which I would be all for. 100% all for that match, right? That's predictions. There's not much to really talk about. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm expecting both of these shows to be pretty mid. I'll definitely watch Money in the Bank. I still haven't decided if I want to watch Worlds Collide yet. To be honest. But that's the predictions. Get your predictions in the Discord. I'll put them on the little spreadsheet I have. I'll update the leaderboards by the end of tomorrow night. I don't know if I told people the leaders here, at the end of the first one, at the end of the first weekend, we did this 2 weeks ago. But B-Master is currently tied for first place. B-Master and Cody at 11-4. Wavy D is 10-5. Witters is 10-4 because they added the Paragon match and he didn't predict it in time, which is fine. It is what it is. Myself, James, and Kara are 9-6, leading up the back of the pack there. And then Highlander only predicted Battleground. They only predicted Battleground, so he didn't predict AEW's Double or Nothing, so he's sitting in last place at 4-2. So just in case he's listening, right, and for everyone listening, even if you don't plan on watching the show, even if you, like, I don't necessarily keep up with AEW, just put in predictions, right? You may get them right, you may get them wrong, you may not know what's going on. That's fine. The fun in this is that actually, to me, makes it more fun. because a lot of times if you just start picking names, it's really hard to predict a Tony Khan card sometimes because he just does stupid shit. So just put in predictions. And you may get them all wrong. That's fine. But, like, put in your predictions. It doesn't matter, right? But put in your predictions for Worlds Collide and Money in the Bank. Those will be due tomorrow afternoon. And then we got two more things here. We're going to go to our deep five segment. Now I mentioned, when I started this, that this could be about any topic, right? And so I'm going to move away a little bit from wrestling. We are at the beginning. We are at the beginning of a football training camp season. And with that being said, I'm going to do my deep five, the top five NFL teams that I think could win the Super Bowl this year. Super Bowl is being hosted in Santa Clara, beautiful Santa Clara, California, home of the San Francisco 49ers. And so we'll start off with the two teams that I think everyone has maybe in their predictions. And that's the Kansas City Chiefs. 100% believe they could win it. I mean, it's the Chiefs. It's Pat Mahomes. Their team never looks good on paper, but they always somehow find a way to win. My second team on this list is the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the Eagles, defending champions. The team, while it changed a little bit, you know, they lost Milton, whatever the fuck his name is. I can't think of his name right now. He's on the Patriots, which is even worse because it's my team. I should know his name. Their star defensive tackle from last year, he's gone, I think. You know, they've lost some other pieces, but they got some pieces as well. Another good draft for Howie Roseman. Jalen Strong. They got to keep the tush push for another year, which I think is the dumbest thing ever. If this was a sports podcast, I would ran on that. I think we got to keep that play because that's the stupidest thing to complain about and leave it to the Packers and the Bills to be the two teams. Look, learn to defend the thing or shut the hell up, right? It's literally the most basic play from the foundations of the sport of football, which comes from rugby, by the way. And it's basically just a rugby scrum. There's zero evidence that that play leads to injuries, which is why I believe they sent in Jason Kelce to explain that. And I think that's why the team, I mean, I think it's gone next year, though. Next year's meetings, they'll talk about it again. They'll do another vote. They only needed like three more votes and it would have been banned. I think it's stupid to even argue that. But the Eagles got a chance. Their schedule's not that favorable, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's ever a week on their schedule. I noticed this on schedule release night. I don't think they have back-to-back home games the entire season, right? Which means they're traveling a lot. Now, they got like 7 primetime games, which is also pretty crazy. They got a pretty tough schedule. But I like the team there, and they're in a really interesting NFC East because the Commanders got better, but they are the Commanders, so who knows? The Cowboys and the Giants both, I think, equally got worse. The Giants got some sneaky picks in the draft. It just depends on how they turn out. But the Cowboys will be the bottom of that division. Sorry, but that's the truth. I think the Commanders have a shot of winning the division. The Eagles got a tough last 3 weeks too. They got Commanders, Bills, Commanders as their last 3 weeks. That's tough. the NFL did not grant the Eagles very much grace in the scheduling for being defending champions. And so I think they're up there, but there's a lot going against them. I don't know if the Eagles actually make the Super Bowl this year, but they are in my top five. Because realistically, I think the Chiefs, we can kind of probably mark them in pencil being in the Super Bowl. Who knows? But my third team, just based on roster and all of this, will be the Buffalo Bills. And that pains me to say this. I absolutely hate saying that. The problem is I don't know if they get past the Chiefs. I think if any year is the year, it has to be this one. I mean, each year that passes by, the window shuts a little bit more. They got Joey Bosa, but he's apparently hurt now in OTAs. So I like the Bills. Chance, here's where it gets interesting. My New England Patriots have the third easiest schedule in the entire NFL, which should come as no surprise, as we were quite literally the worst team in the league last year. If we didn't win in week 18 when the Bills sat everyone and played third stringers and Joe Milton decided to fucking win the game, we would have had the number one pick, which probably meant we would have had, we still drafted Will Campbell, I believe, maybe Travis Hunter. So I'm actually glad that happened because Will Campbell's going to be a dog. I'm happy with that pick. My Patriots got very, very good this offseason. And very favorable schedule. I can see the Patriots making the playoffs this year. I'm just saying it. And it's not because they're going to be the greatest team ever. I think they get to the playoffs and probably get smacked in the mouth. But we have an easy schedule and a better team. Hopefully Stefon can keep the pink cocaine out of the system during the season. The team looks better. Stefon Diggs as the number one. I don't know if I would consider him a true number one, but he's better than what we had. I like the team. Patriots may make the playoffs. I don't have them as favorites to win the Super Bowl, though. The Bills, I think, still win the division. They got a pretty tough schedule, too. We'll see. Team number four is the Detroit Lions. Their team's just too good to not have on this list. They'll get Aiden Hutchinson back from injury. And so we'll do that. And then my team number five, so the top four were easy. I feel like that's everyone's top four, right? Chiefs and Bills from the NFC, Eagles, Lions from the, let's reverse that. Chiefs and Bills from the AFC, Eagles, Lions from the NFC. So now we get to like, okay, who's the third best team in the two conferences, right? And I'm looking at roster and I'm looking at schedules and I'm looking on paper, and I really don't like to make guesses based on that because that never seems to turn out right. And so I'm seeing people pick the Packers. I'm seeing people pick the Ravens. I'm seeing people, make all these crazy picks, and mine might be the craziest. My number five team that I think could win the Super Bowl this year is the San Francisco 49ers. I think the team is much improved, even with the loss of Debo. I think Ayuk being re-signed is big. McCaffrey's there. Brock is good. But if Brock doesn't turn out well, Mac Jones is sitting there. He's a usable backup. The defense looks just as stacked as it ever has been, with Nick on the side or Nick on the edge. You got Fred Warner still there. You got some guys. Hargrave and all these, they're going to be good. 49ers are going to be good. And you look at their division, right? The Seahawks, who knows how they'll be? They got Sam Darnold at quarterback. Is he going to have the same season he had last year in Minnesota, or is this going to be another epic collapse? You got the Cardinals, which are the Cardinals, and I don't really see them as much of a threat. And you have the Rams, which a lot of people think are a good team, but they lost Cooper Kupp. Nacua is now the true number one. How's that offense going to run? The Rams were pretty decent, but I don't know. I like the 49ers. I do. I like the 49ers. I'm not saying they're going to win. But if I had to put odds on like a top five, these would be, it'd be Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Lions, 49ers, and that would be in order. As of right now, this is like OTA. We haven't seen them play yet. This list probably will change by the halfway point of the season, but you know, we're 2.5 months away from the start of the season. So that's my preseason list: Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Niners. And we'll just add for the fun, crazy predictions. If I'm making a bet, to bid, which I never do. Panthers versus Patriots in the Super Bowl will pay you a lot of money if you put that bet in right now. And so I don't think it happens, but that's my little joke going on around here, being that I am in the Carolinas and I am a Patriots fan. So telling everyone it's Panthers, Patriots, and that'll be an interesting game for sure. Might be the worst Super Bowl ever if that happens. But anyway, let's transition to our final thoughts of this episode, and I got two of them. So the first one is this. AEW, on Wednesday, I mentioned this, right? They ran a four-hour television show. They're doing again next week. Now, there's a reason to it. It's two-hour Dynamite followed by a two-hour Collision. And the reason, because they, for whatever reason, decided to put Collision on Saturdays, and then when sports events come around, they got to figure out where to put them. Here's the issue. So there's two issues that come out of this. First off, the idea of running a four-hour television show is absolutely ridiculous. Here's my question. Could you not run Collision on Saturday just on Max? Like, I think this truly 100% believe this. AEW should run fully on Max. They shouldn't be on TV. The ratings, for the first part, one, you can get rid of the ratings talk if you just fully move digital and then not release the ratings. But secondly, like, this is absolutely ridiculous to expect people on a Wednesday night to watch 4 hours of television. Absolutely ridiculous. And then give them a show that, from an objective standpoint, like James said, it was a great show. And to him, it probably was, because he's a super fan of AEW. Everything they do is good to him. But from an objective point of view, someone who has to critique the boringness of WWE's product for the last, like, 3 months, I'm very objective. This show, just as Monday Night Raw was, and just like SmackDown will be tonight, was one word, six letters, boring, right? That's what this show was. That's what this show was. It was 4 hours of nothing but complete boredom. You have Thekla, or I guess it's pronounced Tekla. There's an H in it. I don't know how we can just bypass H's. She debuts against Lady Frost, which I guess that's a good debut match. Nothing really stood out to me in the match itself. Very mid. If that's Mariah May's replacement, that's the downgrade. But it's absolutely ridiculous, and I also believe it's an insult to fans. I've always said this: time is the most important asset you have, and if you're gonna willingly give 4 hours of your life on a Wednesday, knowing that a lot of these fans give 2.5 on Mondays, 2 on Tuesdays. Now they got to do 4 on Wednesday, another 3 on Friday, and then they got essentially the whole day Saturday watching wrestling. That's too much, man. It's too much, right? So absolutely ridiculous that they're running 4-hour TV shows. And then the last thought of the episode, I've heard some crazy takes since R-Truth has announced that he won't be coming back. And I think I may have heard the craziest one. Shit, when was it? Wednesday that I heard this? I heard someone tell me on a podcast, and right, and if you've listened to it, you've listened to it. If you haven't, you haven't. I'm not going to mention it. I'm not going to mention the name. It is what it is. But I heard someone say that our truth not being re-signed is the beginning of the end of WWE. And when I heard that, when I heard that come out of the host of this show's mouth, I had to pause the show and literally laughed my ass off. Talk about holy overreaction. Talk about absolute overreaction to a situation as I described on Tuesday. This is business. And I'd figure that most people would understand this, being that they're the ones that talk about business all the time. Holy overreaction. This is not the start of the downfall of the company. He's 55. He's barely on TV. And when he is, he's the comedy. That's going to end the business? I'm sorry, but I have other things that I think could take down TKO other than R-Truth not being in the locker room. That's crazy. We got to stop with this, right? But a part of this is also on top of us. Now we're having this discussion now on the IWC. I'm not a part of doing it because I think it's a stupid premise. Oh, we need Vince back. I've never thought we would see the day where people would ask for Vince McMahon back as head of creative. We need Vince McMahon back. No, we don't. People who say that, people who are overreacting, look, the shows are pretty boring. I don't think that Triple H has fought 110% of the time, though. I think he's got some blame to it, 100%. But I mentioned on Tuesday, if they are truly $2 billion in debt, well, it makes sense as to why they're running with what has historically sold and not trying to do new things, which lead to a boring product. Because they're trying to make money, and that's all they care about. Right? But we got to stop. We got to stop with this. This whole idea that the current era we're in right now, I've heard it said that the current era we're in right now is the worst era of WWE. And I find that absolutely hilarious. I find that absolutely hilarious. Like, really? Y'all are going to break now? We're not really, like, it's not bad, though. What we got right now is not bad. Right? You want to go back to bad? Do you not remember 2018? Baron Corbin wrestled as Raw, in a vest, as the Raw GM. He looked like he clocked out of Best Buy and then got to the arena. Do you not remember 2015 through 2020? Vince McMahon running this thing. We're nowhere. The current era, the current booking is nowhere near rock bottom. Because we climbed out of rock bottom a long time ago. Right? We climbed out of rock bottom. We set up a little nice little Airbnb on the cliff above the valley. Right? We had the Bloodline era. We're good. We're out of the rock bottom era. 2015 through 2020 was awful. None of Triple H's mistakes holds a candle to the absolute nonsense that was seen between 2015 and 2020. Like, let's take a quick trip down memory lane, can't we? 2019. Right before Roman Reigns disappears, this guy is chained to the turnbuckle and fed literal dog food on national television. Oh, but we're so bad right now. We got it so bad right now. Guys, Come on. They spent weeks building to that segment. And some producer backstage approved it. Someone sent it to Vince McMahon, and he was like, oh, this is good shit. This will get Roman over as a top babyface. Let me tell you something. Spoiler alert. It did not. Let's go back a little bit further. Y'all remember 2017? This Is Your Life, Bayley. An Alexa Bliss segment that bombed so hard I thought the TV was buffering. In real life, a segment so awkward, forced, and unfunny that the crowd didn't even know what to do. They didn't know if they needed to boo. They didn't know if they needed to cheer. You could see like the secondhand embarrassment on Alexa Bliss's face. That same year, you remember that Jinder Mahal randomly won the world championship from Randy Orton? Jumping from jobber to champion. And this wasn't like the underdog jobber Sami Zayn gimmick. No. This was just like, you're losing every match. You're getting jobbed out. And he goes from that to winning the championship just completely randomly because they wanted to expand into the Indian market. And I'm all for international growth. I am. I really do care. Like, right, that did big things for the international markets. But come on. Do you not remember Kane and Daniel Bryan having anger management where every week a new skit was written as if it was the rejected scripts from SNL? Do you not remember when Lana, Rusev, Bobby Lashley, and Liv Morgan were like somehow in a love angle and a soap opera straight off of Days in Our Lives, complete with a wedding interruption and Liv and Lana being lovers for like 3 minutes before the plot line just completely disappeared with zero ending? You not remember Hell in a Cell 2019? When Seth Rollins won a Hell in a Cell match via ref stoppage, because apparently that's a thing. A cell that's supposed to be the most brutal no DQ match ever. They lit the entire ring in arena in red lights and had the audacity to pretend that a foam mallet was too far to the head. And the crowd booed the finish so bad that night. Y'all remember that? You remember the wild card rule in this time where you could just show up on any brand whenever with no explanation and no one who could keep track of the changes? It was chaos, but not the fun kind. It's more of the, we have no idea what we're doing, so we're just throwing shit at the wall kind of chaos. You remember Retribution? The faction that wore Bane masks and cut angry promos like they were some angry kids on Discord. They lost every match they were ever in. They were like the big new threat for like 30 seconds until they became the enhancement talent with names like Slapjack. Do you remember that we had to suffer through Vince McMahon's 50-50 booking where someone would get a very big win only to have the same match the next night and or the next week and lose? Every win was followed by a loss. Titles meant nothing. Heels, a feud had no heat. You'd get the same match 3 weeks in a row and then maybe a tag team version of that same match in the fourth week at the pay-per-view. But sure, now's the worst time ever. Yeah, it's bad right now. It's not the greatest television. We got to stop overreacting. And let me tell you why I think this is happening. The truth is a lot of these loud voices either started being wrestling fans or, most importantly, came back to wrestling during the Bloodline era. when the thing started to feel important again. The investment in the characters, consistency from week to week, started to happen. But they didn't have to suffer through Michael Cole being a full-time heel commentator. Yeah, that happened. For over a year, they didn't have to sit through WrestleMania 27, where The Rock does what The Rock does and overshadows the main event. They weren't there every time Raw had 3 hours of rematches and bathroom breaks, when the titles did not feel important and just played hot potato back and forth between the same two people. Looking at you, Charlotte, and I'm looking at you, Sasha. That Raw Women's Championship, I'm not even kidding, look at the history, changed hands every 3 weeks. The part-timers held some belts hostage. They don't have that perspective to understand that, yes, the product now is boring, but it's not bad. It's watchable. You can make some logical sense out of what we got. It's just not entertaining. There's a difference. Because the shows we were going through in 2015 through 2020, they weren't entertaining, but they also made zero sense. There was no legitimate storyline. I can put holes and storylines together in what we got right now. The product's not as bad as everyone's making it out to be. We're kind of in a holding period right now. And I explain this. I hope they don't care. I spoke with some people in the Discord, in private conversations. And I mentioned it this way, that the product's not necessarily awful. It's boring, and a lot of it, I have to believe, is this way because Triple H's booking had to change because of Dwayne and because of John Cena. I think Triple H had a lot of things planned, and then John Cena dropped the retirement tour, and he had to change a lot of what he had planned. And then Rock couldn't decide what he wanted to do, and then he wanted to steal souls, and then he didn't want to show up in Mania, and now we don't know what Rock's going to show up ever, right? We got to stop complaining like this era's bad. There's a difference between bad and boring, right? 2015 through 2020 was bad. It was awful television. If you had to sit through it and you're still a fan, you're a true fucking wrestling fan. But what I don't like are these wrestling fans. Look, I'm all for the growth of the right, but if I became a fan of soccer and started complaining because or let's say this, right? Let's say what's a team that's doing pretty decent right now, right? Let's say the Buffalo Bills, right? If I came in this year, this would never happen, but if this year happened and I became a Buffalo Bills fan, right? And I start cheering right now about how good the team is, right? The team's the best it's probably ever been. Right. And then they start hitting a losing slump. Right. And I just start going, oh, this team fucking sucks. Bro, you didn't sit right. Better example, the Detroit Lions. If I came in now, the Detroit Lions are probably, like I said, the best team ever. Detroit's good. And they start losing games. Right. Oh, this team fucking sucks. The fans would look at me and be like, bro, you think this is bad? Do you even know the history of the team that you're cheering for right now? I mean, we're having 10-win seasons consistently, which the Lions never did. Right? Right? It's like, even for me now as like a Patriot fan, right? I'm not the type of Patriot fan that's like, oh, this team is absolute shit. Because I know the history of the team. And I understand that the Boston Patriots, and when they changed to New England Patriots, the late 60s, early 70s, even the 80s, and let's just be honest, even the 90s, any decade before Tom Brady, was jack shit awful for the Patriots. Like, very bad. Some bad teams. Like, even the year we were randomly good in 85, we got the shit beat out of us in the Super Bowl because we did not deserve to be in that game. Right? So if I were to sit here and say, oh, this Patriot team is awful, every Patriots fan that's been a fan longer than 12 minutes should beat the shit out of me and say, bro, you think this is bad? Look at the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, right? The team's not good, but this isn't bad. WWE's product's not bad. You just don't have the perspective. It may be the worst it's been since you've been a fan, but let's be honest. Vince McMahon's not the solution. He's just not. He's just not. Here's what I'll say. I'll get if this time next year, when Cena's gone and maybe The Rock's gone from the picture, and if Triple H is still running creative, if the show's still boring, then I'll start blaming Triple H. Fully, 100%. I think there's a lot of other factors Triple H can't control right now. Dwayne's one of them. Cena's run. He's got a book list now to the end of the year. So I'm going to give him a little grace here, which is crazy because I talk about Triple H in a negative way a lot. The show's not good. This is not a pass. But this is, I understand why, right? There's a lot of external factors that Triple H can't control that are directly affecting his booking. And so with that, I will end the show that way. Leave a comment. Let me know what you like. Like, share, subscribe. Tell me what you think of this episode. And until Tuesday, where we will break down Money in the Bank and Monday Night Raw and some other news events and whatever's going on, leave your topic suggestions and your questions. We'll answer them on Tuesday. Until then, hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend, and I will see you on Tuesday. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.